This podcast sponsored by Instant Technologies, the source for award-winning same-time products and applications. Instant Technologies offers proven same-time chat archiving and compliance solutions, IMQ management and help desk solutions, buddy list administration and maintenance tools to easily add, remove, and update enterprise-level buddy lists, and persistent chat rooms and same-time plugins. Instant Technologies, your proven source for same-time solutions. Find them today at www.instant-tech.com. That's www.instant-tech.com. It's time for the Taking Notes podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elgort.
Everyone, and welcome to episode 73 of the Taking Notes podcast for Saturday, January 12th, 2008. I am Bruce Elgort here with
Julian Robichaud.
Little delay there, Julian.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's okay.
Hey, I apologize. I'm sorry.
I usually say, hey, Julian, what do we talk about today? Well, I'm going to say it. Today, we had the pleasure and honor of speaking with Mr. Ben Lang Henricks of Genii Software and the most excellent, awesome session database that he's prepared, well, that he has been preparing since, I think, 2001 for the Lotusphere sessions. Julian, now I'm going to say, Julian, tell us about our conversation with Ben.
Well, why should I? Then they won't listen. If I tell them all about it, then they won't listen. We want them to listen.
All right. Let's move on. Do you want to make them listen, or should you going to say your piece?
I'll just say that Ben tells us all about the sessions database, so not only what it is, but kind of how all the stuff gets in there and some of the new features in the database this year, and I'll let him say the rest.
All right, take it away, guys. Well, take it away, us.
All right. Well, Ben Lang Henricks, good morning. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Quite well. And let's see, Ben, for you, you're in my time zone, aren't you? 11 o'clock a.m. Saturday morning?
That's right.
All right. So me and Ben are just kind of wide awake and ready to go, and Bruce is struggling to wake up at 8 a.m. right now.
Struggling? I'm up. I've already had a Skype conversation, well, my daily Skype conversation with Bill Buchan, and I'm wide awake, Julian.
All right.
I'm not a stress ball like you were the other day.
Were. Still am. But we're talking about Ben right now. Ben, your session database, we're up to version 2.2, I think, of the session database. And, of course, we can – well, you know what? Why don't we start by you telling everyone what the session database is in case they don't know.
All right. The session database, it's a Notes database, and there's also an online version, and it has all the sessions that are at the Lotusphere 2008 this year, along with a whole bunch of additional information, such as people who are involved and people who are blogging about the event, and a lot of related things. It originally was intended for PDA syncing up, so people could get the information onto their PDAs, but it's become a much bigger thing than that, and now you can use it to do all your schedule planning and basically find out what's going on at Lotusphere.
Right, so it's got all the session information just compacted into a nice little notes database. Now Ben, how long does it take you to do this every year?
This is one of these things that I try hard not to think about. I think the sessions database is an eloquent reason why developers should have managers, because developers tend to look at something like this and say, why, I can do that. And managers tend to say, but who's paying for it? And in this case, I don't have a manager, so nobody ever bothered to tell me, you know, ask that question. So I spent a lot of time on it. It has gotten easier over the years because every year I basically use the previous year's design and some agents that I've created, and pull the data in. So the initial process is faster and faster every year, but there's an awful lot of cleanup and an awful lot of adding new features, because every year I have to add something new just to make it more interesting.
Well, and I guess in terms of importing the data in, which actually is kind of the hard part. I mean, you're always going to have to clean up data one way or another when you're bringing it in from another system. But the bringing it in the first place, that's the part that's actually kind of interesting. You're using some, you know, what technology are you doing to actually pull that in? You're not copying and pasting, right?
No, the technology has evolved over the years, not so much because I have better techniques, but because Lotus or IBM usually has a different database every year or a different format, and so there's always an evolution of that. The technology I use my Midas Rich Text LSX, usually for both extracting HTML, importing HTML, formatting the documents, that sort of part. There's another part of it, which is I do the read view entries, and so I have to do XML parsing. And it used to be that I used my own XML parser before IBM came up with one, and so I had written one of those, and I used that. Over the years, that's changed too. The view has less and less information in it, so now instead of doing that, I actually copy, you know, do a copy and paste of the entire the visual part of the view, and I put it into a document, and then I process that document, read off the URLs and with Midas. Then I use a utility, which we have on our website and have had for years, called Grabit, which is an LSX that's just a utility LSX to pull down a web page and feed that into Midas, which imports the data and process it, and then I parse it, and, you know, then I write it up. So it's a combination of XML parsing, screen grabbing, and Midas, you know, rich text parsing for most of the process.
Wow, that's still a lot of stuff, though.
That's a lot of work.
At least the computer's doing it for you at that point.
Well, the computer does all of that. It turns out that the database is usually a little bit random. A lot of things that IBM adds, they add manually. Their process is more done with a Word document and that kind of planning. So formats of dates and things like that are not always right. I usually have to go through an iterative process where I import everything in, find out what doesn't look right, you know, I usually add a little bit in the code because it's easier than doing things by hand, import it again, see how it works. And so I usually go through that process 3 or 4 times. But it did mean that this year, for instance, they put up the session database. They put up the session information on the web, and I had the entire, you know, the first version of the database out 2 hours later.
What took you so long?
Yeah, exactly.
So Ben, yeah. I was going to say, what made you start this, and when did you start it? It wasn't 15 years ago, right? Because
no, I was actually looking it up because I was trying to remember. One interesting fact, which you guys might want to note, is if you look at the URL where you download the sessions database, it's, I'm not going to try to write it all out, but the end part of it is ls2008_sessionsdb. Well, if you go back and look, every one of the sessions databases is still up there. So you can go back to 2001, which was the first year, and the sessions database is still available. So if you want to download it, it's kind of interesting to see what was hot then. R5 was the big version. So you can go back and reminisce about the great sessions that you went to back then. But what actually happened was, for a number of years, I brought out my Midas Rich Text LSX in 1997. And for a number of years after that, business partners tried to convince IBM that I should be allowed to do a session talking about it at Lotusphere. In 2001, I actually got to do a session talking about Midas and also talking about rich text. It was called 80316 Notes Rich Text, How the Heck Do You Work With This Stuff? And I did it along with an IBM person. And in that, I showed Midas demos. But when I was leading up to that, so that was now 2000, it was the year 2000, but 2001 Lotusphere was coming in January. As I was leading up to that, I was doing a lot of work with R5 and showing people nested tables and things like that. And so what actually happened was that I wasn't intending to do the database at all. When the session information came up for Lotusphere Online, so this would be January 10th, 2001, I looked it up, I converted my fixed list code to use the sessions code, and I put out versions of all the session data for the 2001 Lotusphere in nested tab tables in a document on in the Business Partner Forum. And I showed a few different sessions. The things that I now have as views, I had as separate documents, sessions by day and by track and all that sort of thing. And I thought that was really cool and it was fun to look at. But people in the Business Partner Forum, who actually also thought it was cool, but they also said they started the traditional, why doesn't IBM put this out in a notes database? And it occurred to me that I didn't have a PDA myself, but what people said was if we had it in a notes database, then we could, sync it up with our PDA. I think Palm Pilot was the big thing at those days. And so I went out and used this JazzSax parser that I had built, which I thought I would sell at some point, and I decided not to. And Midas and I pulled together a quick version, actually the same day, built on the R5 journal database, which someone had told me actually syncs with, and you can use to sync up with a PDA, and I put it out that day. So it was just a whim. It wasn't really meant to be something I did, but a lot of people liked it, and a lot of people passed it around. This was before we had blogs everywhere, and before people were actively using the web that way. So mostly it got passed around manually through mail and things like that. But so the next year people started calling and say, well, when are you going to do it again? And that's when I really decided to make it a thing I did and put a lot more into it. And
at that point, you're stuck.
Yeah.
At that point, again, it's that manager who's supposed to come back and say, who's paying for this, never came. So I just kept doing it.
Well, I noticed a little logo on the lower left-hand corner. That helps pay.
Well, yeah, it doesn't hurt, but it's I have avoided for years. People have come to me and said, can we sponsor this in such a way that we put ads all over it? And I have avoided letting anybody else really get any, publicity from it but me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a smart move, Ben.
Well, it's... 1 year I did let Penumbra co-sponsor it. I do want to say, though, that as much as this has been an effort that I've made, there have been a great number of people over the years who have contributed ideas and code snippets and, redesigns of this, that, and the other, including probably the most notable is that the Turtle Partnership put out a BlackBerry version 2 years ago and has done it each year since. And the BlackBerry version has been very, very popular. This year, they have had over 700 downloads of that, and they decided, I talked to a little bit about the interactivity that I've added this year. They decided to do that with the BlackBerry as well. So it's been exciting to see other people take it on, and because it hasn't ever been a promotional process, a lot of people are willing to contribute.
Mm-hmm. Ben, can you tell us a little bit more about the BlackBerry app, how it works? It's not just a web view of the session database, right?
No, they have they actually import the data from from my sessions database, and they leave it to me to keep it up to date and make sure the changes are there and whatever. And it's inspired by it and takes the data from it, but it actually is a complete design for the BlackBerry. And allows you to do many of the same planning activities that you would do with the sessions database, a little bit less of some of the fun views and all, but a little bit more of the just I need to know where I'm going next session.
Well, for anyone who's listening who actually has not downloaded the database, do you want to just walk through it real quick and say what it's actually doing?
Sure. Interested. It's been it's been an iterative process. Every year there seems to be something new that I want to add. And most years that has to do with sessions because that's the focus. There is information in there about the showcase floor and the pedestals, but it seems to be the hardest information to get until the last minute. So most of the focus is on sessions and on people who are at Lotusphere, so that's very important. If you go into the database from the notes end, and actually it looks very much the same from the web, but we haven't focused as much on the web interface yet. That's sort of one of those things that I'm working on this year. But if you go into the database, you'll see a number of sessions, a number of different ways to look at the sessions, by speaker name, by company, by track or day or time, and by location, things like that. And I could have left the database so that you just had that information, but I'll talk about it in a minute. There's a whole other way of looking at the information. If you and all the birds of a feather and business day, business development day, and regular sessions are all included in the database. So if you go into one of the sessions, what you'll see is you're going to see the title, a link to IBM's version of this information, just because it seems important to let you know where it came from, who the speakers are, the location, times and dates, and whether there are any repeats and where they are. And then it has the abstract so that you have a rough idea. But the thing that's gotten really popular in the last few years is the tab table, which is underneath that. And this is where I've had a lot of time to add new features that have to do with my experience at Lotusphere and with other people's feedback on what they want to do. Right. So, for instance, you have the tabs, and I'll go through them even though you could go look because it's fun to see why we did this. The sessions at this time, that's pretty obvious. If you just want to see right now what else is going on right now, because you may have walked into one room and you immediately realize it's not the one that you wanted to do. So you want to see what else is right now, and that is the first tab. Second one is by this speaker, and that's really handy if you like the session and want to figure out what else you might want to see by that person. In the same track, one of the things that I object to about the Pocket Agenda, now, I mean, it's a great tool, but one of the things that it doesn't quite do is say, I'm really a developer, I want to see other things in whatever track I'm in, and not, you know, admin stuff off in another track. But the really fun views are the next few. You have these... The first one is called In This Room Graphically, all right? And these I consider layered views. It's a technique I kind of came up with on my own because I am not smart enough to know how people are really supposed to do this, and so I just made up my own technique. And it's a great big grid with all the times and all the name, the different tracks. And then on top of the grids, there are names of sessions. And so you can just graphically see what's there, and you can highlight over the top, and it'll tell you the name of the, you know, the information about the session, where it is, who's speaking, that kind of information. The reason I like In This Room Graphically is because at Lotusphere, I am usually exhausted by the second day. I'm so tired, I don't have any energy to move. And so what I really want to see is, if I just sat in this seat and never moved, what would I get to see next? So that's been very, very popular. After that, you've got ones for big overview pictures in the Dolphin and the Yacht and Beach or in the Swan. And those have the same graphical view, except that it shows you every different location in that building. And it shows you the time slot so that you can sit there and look at it and kind of plan out your day on a single page. Because it's too hard to look through a view and figure out what else is here. Again, you may not want to leave the Dolphin. You don't have time. You want to be able to just go to the next session. Something I'm adding shortly. This is I haven't mentioned this before, but one I'm adding that should be out shortly is a new tab, which is Fun and Food, and that will tell you.
Buy Ben a milkshake.
Well, there you go. Now it will tell you things like when is the coffee break, and when is lunch. And where are the parties? That sort of thing. I decided I wanted that same sort of graphical look for those.
So, Ben, give us a hint. Is the coffee flowing all the time this year? Or?
I there are certainly places where the coffee is flowing all the time, but I want to know where I can get a soda or where I can get one of those ice cream bars, because I always miss the Dove bars because I'm like, I don't realize there's a coffee break, and I'm still back on that in this room graphically, and I never leave my seat. I don't realize they have to have these great ice cream things, and so I wanted something like that.
So how do you get that information? Do you have a contact at Lotus that's gonna shovel all that stuff out to you?
I have many contacts at Lotus, none of whom shovel almost any information at me. I find it out the hard way, which is, for instance, if I go to the agenda on the Lotusphere website, it lists when the coffee breaks are. Now, do I know what ice cream is going to be there? I don't, but I can kind of guess. At least I know when to go out of the room, and that's important. The one other thing is that this database tends to change day by day, all the way through, even through Lotusphere, which is why I'll mention in a minute the bit about the replication, because this is important. It changes all the time, and as soon as Lotusphere Online comes up, I pull whatever information I can from there as well. So it tends to be an ongoing process. It's not just beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, would you mind if we take a few minutes to thank the people who help sponsor this episode of the Tiki Notes podcast, as well as those throughout Lotusphere? And as you may have heard in the beginning of the show, and again probably in the intro, it's Instant Technologies. These guys make lots of great stuff for same time, including things like chat archiving and compliance solutions, IMQ management, buddy list administration, persistent chat rooms, lots of great stuff. And if you are going to Lotusphere and you hit the product showcase, which we all know you do, they'll be at Pedestal or Booth, as whichever, they're interchangeable, at 333. That's 333. So we'd like to thank them. You can visit their website at www.instant-tech.com. And again, thanks, and we really appreciate your sponsorship. So I'm sorry for interrupting there, gentlemen. Let's.
Well, you know what? As a segue, back to the database, we know that they were at Pedestal 333 because we looked it up in the Genii database, right?
That's right. Prior to the show, you know, I hadn't had the Pedestal information for Instant. So, of course, you know, I delegated it out to Julian and Ben, and they slapped me around and said, just look in the database, Bruce. And I did, and it was there. I set up my replication just now on my home home version of the database, and poof, there it was. So,
yeah.
Thanks.
Which, actually, you know, Ben, talk about the replication bit for a second, because I think that's a really nice new feature in this year's database. You know, I think when last you spoke, you were saying that the information is changing all the time, and so now there's a button that fixes that, right?
That's right. Up until last year, we actually added replication but didn't promote it much last year because they were trying to get through some of the logical issues with it. But it had always been a process of my putting up new versions and then trying to promote the fact that a new version was up and getting a lot of people to download that. And so one of the things when I was talking to the Turtle Partnership about the BlackBerry version, one of the things we talked about was putting a replica up on a public, I don't know what the term for it is, essentially an anonymous server so that people could replicate without having to have any special documents. And we got that working last year, but just at the very end. So this year I decided to promote it right from the beginning. Now rather than downloading a new version when a new version goes up on our website, you can just hit the button anytime you want and get the latest changes. That has been very popular. There are many, many people replicating. Some people go the next step and actually set up scheduled replication, because once you have the information there and the button, you can figure out pretty easily how to do that. It inspired a new feature which is also available this year, which I've just added in version 2, which is the ability to actually ask questions of the presenters of sessions and therefore add a certain level of collaboration or interactivity with the database, which has never been there before. Because people are actually replicating, they can see those questions on the fly without my having to put a new version up. So that feature is back on the session form. That's the last tab, is the ability to ask that question And one of the things that's coming in version 3, which should be out on Monday, is the ability for speakers or anybody else, for that matter, to answer those questions and a little bit extra, which I won't talk about right now, but which is going to come out in version 3. So that interactivity is now possible because people can replicate every day. They can replicate anytime they want and not have to wait and download a new version.
Julian, didn't you say you've got questions already?
Yeah, I already have one question on the session I'm doing with Andre Girard, and I will be blogging the answer to that today. It was a very good question. I think that that just sort of proves the value of the question asking right there, because I think it was a fairly universal thing that the people are wondering.
Mm-hmm. Nice and feature, Ben.
Well, thanks. And one thing that I really am hoping will happen, if I can get everything in place in time, and if not this year, then next year, but hopefully for this year, is I've always looked at how could I take, or for the last several years, I've looked at how could I make this database more useful during Lotusphere instead of just beforehand, instead of just for planning. And one of the things that people have asked me about is now that the sessions are a little bit shorter at Lotusphere than they used to be, and there's a little bit less time usually for questions and answers, and people often, don't feel like they have a chance to ask a follow-up question. My other hope is that the database will be useful during Lotusphere and even after Lotusphere as a place for people to ask those questions which they may not have felt comfortable or just didn't have time to ask during the session as follow-ups. So before, during, and after, although if you're going to type during the session, you should type very quietly because it's really distracting.
Ben, that's really cool. So afterwards, someone's got a question. They post it onto the database. They replicate back up and, say it was a question for Julian or myself for one of our sessions. We'd see it there and we could answer it, and it can go on forever, right?
That's right. As I say, these things stay up there. The questions can go back and forth. I'm looking at ways to make the process easier on the presenters, possibly by setting it up so that it will automatically notify them when a question has been asked. But those are, like most things in this database, it is an evolving process. Actually, I wanted to talk about that just a little bit. Early on, people have looked at the database and they've said, it looks okay, especially the web version looks a little bit, kludgy. And so I just wanted to kind of respond to that as a big picture, because there are two different answers to the fact that it's not the greatest looking app in the world. The first of those answers is anybody who would like to make changes and to suggest changes is free to go ahead and do that. I've always added things that people like the add to my calendar. People, for the first few years, I didn't have the ability to say, I just want to add this to my notes calendar. And one year, Carolyn Kraut sent me an agent and said, why don't you put this in there? And then people can just add it to their calendar. Well, so I added it in there, and that's been very popular. So first of all, anybody who's welcome to either modify their own version or send in copies, and this is essentially an open source project in that sense. The second thing, though, is one of those big picture philosophical things I just wanted to mention, because I always like to say this about the sessions database. It is very popular in the IT world to sit there and say that looks matter more than anything else, and that's why, take your pick, why this product or that product or this version or that version doesn't sell or isn't as popular. One of the things that I think this database tends to prove is that you don't want to be terrible looking, but what's really important is that you have useful information. And as long as this keeps having the information that people want in a way that they can use it, they're not going to complain that much about the looks. So it is my belief that functionality does trump appearance, but I'm also always eager to get anybody who can help me, because I have no UI sense whatsoever. So anybody, this is my plea for help. I've gotten some suggestions this year that I'm hoping to put in version 3. But anybody who would like to suggest ways that this can look prettier, I'm more than happy to take them.
Boy, if I was any good at that, I would help. But I'm just as bad, if not worse, than you are as far as UI goes. I'm sorry, Ben.
That's okay.
All right. So what else do we have? Let's see. We got the database. You need to download it. Ben, you're doing a session at Lotusphere this year. If you look up Ben Lang-Henrich's name in here, you'll see something. What's that about?
Well, my session this year is on, it's called A Jug of Wine, A Spreadsheet, and Thee, and it combines productivity editor work and poetry. I'm not sure why.
Of course.
Well, exactly. My theory about why this was approved is that Rocky Oliver, who's the track manager, knew that he was leaving IBM shortly and decided this would be a fun thing to give, you know, to drop in their laps. But in any case, it's going to be a whole lot of interesting stuff about how to be productive now that you've got the productivity apps or editors, the Symphony. It is nice to have them in place, but I'm doing a lot of work with them both for my Open Sesame project, which is a separate third-party thing that I'm working on. But I'm doing a lot of work with them. I'm also just working on how can you be productive. We always talk a lot in the IT world about thinking outside the box. Well, all of a sudden, you've got something inside the box that has a lot of power, but how do you actually use it? I mean, what can you do in your daily life that will take advantage of the fact that Node 8 now has Symphony integrated in? So I'm gonna take an interesting approach on that one, and it's an experiment, and I'm not going to talk a lot about it because I want you to come, and because there are like spaces for 900 people in that room, and I have to have some reason why they would come and see the session once they've already had all the other Symphony stuff that's been earlier in the week. So you'll have to come and see what interesting stuff I do besides the poetry.
Mm-hmm. What kind of wine will you be serving, Ben?
I am actually not serving any wine. It's a bring-your-own-bottle kind of affair.
All right, we'll have to talk to Sandra about that. Maybe instead of coffee, wine, you know.
I would be okay with that. I may skip the wine myself and go for the milkshake. But for the rest of the audience, it might make the session go a little bit, you know, more smoothly.
Maybe I'll bring a big jug of Gallo Rosé or something.
A box.
A box. I'll bring a box of wine.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. What else? Now, Ben, are you going to be at Lotusphere on Saturday or Sunday?
I'm coming in on Friday. I will be there until Thursday.
Right. Okay. So if people want to meet you, where will you be able to be found?
I am one of those people that's actually pretty easy to find. I mean, I walk around, I'm 6'6", so I'm taller than most people, and I would like to say I have an entourage of groupies, but it's not really true. mostly, I think that you can find me anywhere where you can find the other Penumbra members, because I tend to hang out with the turtles and people like that. I have no pedestal because I can't stand standing that long. I have no scheduled appearances except for my Thursday event. You're just going to have to watch for me. But my photo is on my website, so you can go and you can look at my blog and you can see exactly what I look like.
Yep. Or come and ask me and Bruce, and what we'll do is maybe we'll hand out like little flyers that have big pictures of Ben and stuff like that on it.
Yeah, actually life-size pictures of Ben, and Gail and I are going to run over to Kinko's shortly and pick all those up. So just see Julian and myself if you want to meet Ben Lang-Henrichs, we'll hook you up. But you have to have at least $5 or so to buy him a milkshake for doing this awesome session database. So I think last year Gail and I had a milkshake with you, Ben, and that was really fun.
That was really fun.
You were late.
Yeah, I'm late a lot. I get a little confused. I'm somewhat directionally, inadequate.
All right. Well, episode 73. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap this puppy up?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Lotusphere, and I certainly hope that this is yet another way that people can get excited and get into the whole event.
Yep, and we will have a link to the sessions database in the show notes, and actually I think it's linked to on the Lotusphere page as well, right?
That's right.
Okay, so those are two places that you can find the database, download it, and start using it.
The link on the Lotusphere website is under Tracks and Sessions, I should say.
Very good. Okay.
All right. Well, that was it for episode 73 for Saturday, January 12th. Again, thanks to Instant Technologies for sponsoring this episode. Thanks to Ben and Genii Software and the Turtles for putting this awesome database out there for the Lotus community and all the attendees of Lotusphere. Ben, you know, I spent yesterday, actually, at lunchtime working on my schedule, and I have to say that this tool made it easy. So, thank you.
I'm glad to hear it.
All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. We got lots more Lotusphere 2008 podcasts coming out. Talk to you soon.
This podcast sponsored by Instant Technologies, the source for award-winning same-time products and applications. Instant Technologies offers proven same-time chat archiving and compliance solutions, IMQ management and help desk solutions, buddy list administration and maintenance tools to easily add, remove, and update enterprise-level buddy lists, and persistent chat rooms and same-time plugins. Instant Technologies, your proven source for same-time solutions. Find them today at www.instant-tech.com. That's www.instant-tech.com.